Chapter 5, Karma Yoga as Action in Krishna Consciousness. So this is the last chapter really which focuses on Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga, of course, is a very important of the different types of yogas. Karma Yoga is very important. Hare Krishna. Coming in. So amongst the different types of yogas, Karma Yoga is very important because, as we saw in the diagram of the yoga ladder, it's like a stepping stone into a number of different types of yogas. Krishna's explained in the third chapter that you can't really take up jnana yoga unless you've already been through karma yoga. It'll be very difficult for you to be successful in jnana yoga unless you've actually been through karma yoga. And we'll see when we come to the next chapter, sixth chapter, that you also can't really take to Ashtanga Yoga unless you've been through Karma Yoga. Because Jnana Yoga and Ashtanga Yoga, they're both systems of yoga in which one doesn't do anything, basically. One sits and meditates, particularly in Ashtanga Yoga, that is the mode of practice. You just sit there and fix your mind on the spiritual platform. And in Jnana Yoga, you just sit there and you contemplate philosophically. Also Sankhya Yoga and Jnana Yoga are very similar. Not exactly the same, but very similar. And also Sankhya Yoga is a process where you basically just sit there and you contemplate philosophically, analytically, like that. So in those systems of yoga, you're not engaging your body. So if you're not already transcendental to your body, but you try and perform these types of yogas, then you'll find that your body will force you to act according to its own nature. And in that way, your concentration on your jnana, sankhya, or ashtanga yoga will become broken. And you may even fall down. So those yogas, Jnana, Sankhya, and Ashtanga, they're really intended for people who are quite advanced already. And they're pretty much free from the influence of their conditioned nature. So this is Karma Yoga then. It's like a stepping stone. Because it allows you to engage your body and your mind in spiritual practices, but in ways which are very easy for you, taking into consideration your conditioned nature. So that's why so much attention has been given to Karma Yoga. The third chapter was entitled Karma Yoga. The fourth chapter that we read through yesterday, that is dealing to quite some extent also with Karma Yoga in terms of transcendental knowledge about Krishna. And this chapter is also entitled Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga as Action in Krishna Consciousness. So it's the last chapter which really focuses on Karma Yoga. Now, When we were beginning the third chapter, you may recall that Arjuna asked Krishna a question that you have recommended being very intelligent, a type of approach involving jnana, knowledge. But at the same time, you've recommended fighting in what Arjuna calls this ghastly war, which doesn't seem to be very intelligent. So which of the two approaches are you really recommending? Arjuna said that my mind is bewildered by your equivocal instructions, equivocal. You seem to be giving equal stress to not working, and working. So what is your message really? So then, that was the beginning of the third chapter, so then Krishna went on to make it very clear that to work according to your nature, but for a spiritual goal, in other words, karma yoga, that is really much more effective, particularly for you, karma yeva adhikariste. Your adhikar, your qualification, your situation is such that you should perform karma. You should work according to your physical nature, but in a spiritual way, and that way you'll be able to advance much better than if you try to stop working and perform jnana yoga or ashtanga yoga, something like this. So at that time we also turned to these first few verses of the fifth chapter, you may recall, where Arjuna asks Krishna what is essentially the same question. Seems like he's simply repeating himself. So Arjuna, in the first verse of chapter 5, he says, O Krishna, first of all you asked me to renounce work. That was the idea of jnana. Just understand you're a spirit soul. You're not this body, you're not part of the material world. So, renounce work, and then you recommend work with devotion. So will you please tell me definitely, tell me clearly, which of the two is really more beneficial? Now, we should understand that Arjuna is asking this question again. It's not really because he doesn't understand, like it slipped his mind, that we've already discussed exactly the same point just a few minutes ago. It's not that. But the idea is that this point is so important in Bhagavad Gita and in spiritual life generally, that in order to make it clear, more clear, to people like ourselves, who are not on the same platform as Arjuna, to really make it clear for us, it's repeated. And for that matter, we'll see tomorrow, in the beginning of the sixth chapter, that Krishna, without being questioned, he brings up the same point again. And even later on, it comes up again. Of course, in different places, it comes up in slightly different ways. But ultimately, it's really the same point. So this is a very important point in spiritual life. That in spiritual life, in yoga, there are two main groups of yoga. One group involves working, the other group involves not working, just renouncing, taking up some sort of meditative or very internal type of process. So here Arjuna is asking Krishna again, you please tell me clearly, definitely, which of these two processes is better? And in verse 2, Krishna gives a very straight answer, straight to the point. It's not equivocal at all. He says they're both good. Renunciation of work and work and devotion are both good, but of the two, work and devotional service is better than renunciation of work. Again, Srila Prabhupada has translated the word karma yoga as devotional service, because this karma yoga or nishkam karma yoga, it very naturally leads one on to bhakti yoga. And in fact, as Krishna is explaining Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, that is really what is happening. That is really what Krishna is doing with Arjuna, taking him from the level, first of all, of karma kandya, then karma yoga, and then into bhakti yoga. So of the two, devotional service or Nishkam Karma Yoga here is definitely much better. In verse 3, Krishna makes the point that the Karma Yogi neither is attracted to the results of his work, nor does he dislike the results of his work. So the person who's simply renouncing, that person is more taking a position of disliking the results of work. Just like you may have heard, there was one famous or infamous yogi or whatever, supposed yogi from India, very, very famous man. He lived earlier this century. And he was very fond of making it appear that he was very renounced. He wouldn't touch anything material, particularly money. So people would come to him offering money, and he'd shy away. No, take it away. Like he was scared of it. So Prabhupada once was discussing this man and this particular practice of this man with some of his disciples. And Prabhupada said that, oh, this man, he goes like this, he tries to get away from money if people offer. But Prabhupada said that if people offer money to me, then I'll take all of it for Krishna. And he made this sort of gesture like that, and he would take it all very eagerly. So those who are taking up these processes which involve renunciation, there's a danger, there's a possibility they may develop this negative type of attitude. Attachment and aversion, they're two sides of the same coin. Just like lust and anger. Wherever there is lust, there'll be anger. Because when you have a coin, wherever you have the head side, you must have the tail side. You can't have one without the other. So wherever you have attachment, you'll have aversion. And wherever you have aversion, you'll have attachment also. So what Krishna is recommending is to be very equibalanced, very balanced in mind. Always happy to work, and not working, not feeling within one's mind that, oh yes, I'm going to get something out of this for myself. And also not thinking that I want to avoid any sort of fruit if it comes. Of course, I won't accept it for myself. But if some fruits come through this work, then I'll offer them to Krishna without being attached or without having a negative type of attitude. So when you're free from duality in this way, Krishna says here in verse 3, then you can easily become liberated. It's very easy. Very simple. So Karma Yoga is very nice in this way. And similarly, devotional service also involves having the same type of attitude. Nothing for me. We don't need anything for ourselves, but we're happy to accept everything and use it in Krishna's service. So then, in verses 4, 5, and 6, Krishna makes a very interesting point about Karma Yoga and these other systems of yoga which involve renunciation. It's a very interesting point. In verse 4 he says that only ignorant people talk of Karma Yoga as being different from these other yogas which involve renunciation. He's saying that they're really the same. But Krishna's already explained that they're not really the same. So what is Krishna, what is being meant? What is Krishna meaning when he's saying now that actually they are the same? And that if you see them as being different, then you're ignorant. So Prabhupada explains very nicely in the purport of this verse, verse 4. The aim of the analytical study of the material world is to find the soul of existence. Analytical study means like jnana, sankhya, or Ashtanga, particularly Jnana and Sankhya. So the aim is to find the soul of existence. And what is that soul? The soul of the material world is Vishnu, or the Supersoul. Devotional service to the Lord entails service to the Supersoul. One process is to find the root of the tree, and the other is to water the root of the tree. The real student of Sankhya philosophy finds the root of the material world, Vishnu, and then in perfect knowledge engages himself in the service of the Lord. Therefore, in essence, there's no difference between the two, because the aim of both is Vishnu. So, did everyone sign themselves present? So, the Sankhya... Okay. Pass it back. The Sankhya process or Jnana process, these processes which involve cultivation of knowledge and contemplation, meditation like that. So the idea there is to find the root of the tree. In other words, to find what is the fundamental principle of existence. And karma yoga or bhakti yoga, the idea there is to water the root of existence. So, one process is to find the root, the other is to water the root. Now those whose process involves trying to find the root, as long as when they do find the root, they water it, then you can say that the two processes are the same. As long as they water the root, when they find it, if they find it. Now, if they don't find the root, somehow or other they don't sort of persevere in their yoga practices, they get deviated, then obviously it's not the same. Or if they find the root, for example, Prabhupada explained that in Ashtanga yoga particularly, there you're meant to realize the Supersoul. For Prabhupada said that there is a final danger. That is, that when you realize the Supersoul, then you may think, oh, this is me. I've realized me. And then you fall down, because actually it's Krishna. This is like the last snare of Maya, to think that you are God. So if you find the root, but then you misidentify, then also you can't really say that Sankhya process or Jnana process is as good as the process of bhakti or karma yoga. But if you, when you find the root, if you do water the root, in other words, serve, take up devotional service, then you can say that the processes are the same. So a person who practices Sankhya yoga or Jnana yoga very nicely, under proper direction, then when they come to the conclusion, they realize the Supersoul, or they realize Brahman, then they'll realize, oh yes, this is a feature of the Supreme Lord, and now I must engage in devotional service to the Supreme Lord. So if they properly follow those processes, they end up actually performing bhakti. That was why, you remember in our diagram of the yoga ladder, from Nishkam Karma Yoga, you could go straight on to bhakti, or you could go that way to Jnana Yoga, which might well take you to Brahman realization. But then we had a little sort of dot, dot, dot line, broken line, going back to bhakti. Do you remember that? And similarly, from Nishkam Karma Yoga to Ashtanga Yoga, you might well go on to Paramatma realization, but then we also had a broken line going back to bhakti, or going up to bhakti, really. So if one practices these processes of yoga, which involve renunciation and meditation and speculation like that, if one follows them very nicely, under proper direction, then one may well end up taking up bhakti yoga. So then you can say that Sankhya process or that Jnana process, that's as good as karma yoga or bhakti yoga. But if you don't end up going back to bhakti, but you go on to the super soul, realization of super soul, or just Brahman realization, then you can't really say that they are as good. So I hope that point is clear. It's an important point. Some of you who've been around a bit longer, you may remember that in older editions of Bhagavad Gita, in the illustrations section, there used to be a picture. It hasn't been included in more recent editions, but there was one picture which had within it like smaller pictures, couple of sequences of smaller pictures. In one sequence you have the devotee performing devotional activities. In the other sequence you've got like an Ashtanga yogi or one of these other types of yogis, and he's meditating or doing whatever he does. And then that Ashtanga yogi or Jnana yogi, in one of these little pictures, he realizes the super soul. And then the final picture in both sequences, it's one picture, the final picture for both sequences, is that Ashtanga yogi or Jnana yogi and the devotee engaging in kirtan together. Have you seen that picture, any of you? Yeah. So that's exactly illustrating this point here, that both processes can be considered the same, as long as they do actually lead to the proper goal. So that point is being made here. They're really the same as long as they're being followed very properly. But if there's any deviation, particularly in the Sankhya process or Jnana process, then you can't really consider it to be the same. So Krishna reiterates the same point in verse 5. The same position or the same goal can be reached through both processes. Therefore, they can be considered to be on the same level. But then in verse 6, Krishna again stresses karma yoga or devotional service. That if you simply renounce your activities and don't engage in devotional service, you won't become happy. But a thoughtful person, a person who is in transcendental knowledge and who engages in devotional service, can achieve the Supreme without delay, very easily. That is sort of following on the mood of chapter 2, verse 59. Any of you here know what is chapter 2, verse 59? Any pundits? Drishta? Yes. Same idea, that if a person simply stops their sensual activities, they just restrict themselves from sense gratification, the taste remains. But if you stop those activities of sense gratification through getting a higher taste, through devotional service, then you can be fixed in spiritual consciousness. So this is the same idea. If you simply renounce your activities, but you don't engage in devotional service, you won't be happy. But if you engage in devotional service, then you'll get a higher taste. Then you'll be very happy and you'll advance very easily. So that is the first section, section A. Section B, verse 7 to verse 12 is revisiting karma yoga. We're really getting a lot of karma yoga in these chapters. But as we said, it's so important. That's why it's being repeated and repeated, you know, from slightly different angles of vision each time, that basically the same message is being repeated again and again. In verse 7, Krishna explains how these activities of karma yoga or devotional service are very pleasing to everyone, to yourself and even to other people, because they're very natural. It's a very karma yoga is an activity which naturally puts you into harmony with life in general and people in general. And even though you're always working, you're never entangled. 8 and 9 gives a very analytical type of description of the position of the karma yogi. Even though all the bodily functions are going on, all the different bodily functions, but the karma yogi or the devotee is always aloof. He never feels that, yes, I'm acting, I'm doing, I'm becoming affected. No. He knows it's just the body, it's just the mind, and I'm something different. Of course, he knows that because he has knowledge. And as we know, that knowledge started off in the second chapter as simply being knowledge of the difference between the soul and matter. But now the scope of that transcendental knowledge has been expanded in chapter 4 to include Krishna. So we should bear this in mind in this chapter and as we continue on from here, that when Krishna refers to a person being fixed in knowledge or fixed in transcendental knowledge from this point on, then that includes that the soul is different from matter. That's already there. But now it also includes knowledge about Krishna. And as we read in verse 35 yesterday, in verse 34, Krishna said that you get this knowledge from a spiritual master. Then 35, he gave like the basic picture of what is that knowledge. And that is that everything is part and parcel of Krishna. So this is an important point in this chapter. That in this chapter 5, the idea is that karma yoga is now being discussed in terms of Krishna consciousness. That is what really distinguishes it from chapter 3. Otherwise, chapter 3 and chapter 5 are very similar. Basically, karma yoga. But in chapter 3, the position of Krishna and the relationship of all of this to Krishna wasn't that clear. Not totally clear, at least. But now, following chapter 4, where Krishna's position was established so clearly, so now the discussion is karma yoga, but in terms of Krishna consciousness. So verse 10 is glorifying karma yoga again. Verse 11 also. And verse 12. The basic message is that through engaging in this karma yoga or bhakti yoga in relationship with Krishna, then you become peaceful, satisfied, whereas if you're attached to getting the results of your work for yourself, then you won't be satisfied, but you'll be entangled. Now the next section, C, it's also interesting, it's a little technical. It's been entitled Enlightenment Through Knowing the Three Doers in Perspective. A little more technical philosophy for us. So in verses 13 and 14, Krishna makes it very clear that the soul is not working, the soul is not causing work, the soul is not creating the fruit of work,